Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening, Houston? You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Band's all here.
What's happening?
That's John Lopez. I am Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig on ones and twos, as he is always wont to do. And you rolling with us in the great city of Houston or wherever else in the world, whether you're following us along on the Odyssey app, the YouTube page, the Twitch, what are the iHeartRadio app, or what are the other things, your smart speaker, all sorts of various places. We appreciate you rolling with us here on a Monday, technically a Reaction Monday.
So what are we reacting to?
That is the question that I would like to ask. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, appreciation to the Mulcairn Injury Lawyers for the live streams. Both on the YouTube page, as I mentioned, which is Sports Radio 610, and the Twitch chat 610 Houston. I see you, 713. Hey, yo, Reggie, what's happening with you? I hope that you didn't miss me too much. And for those of you that absolutely did not miss me, I apologize for my return. how'd your bye week go, gentlemen?
It was fantastic. The thing about it is, and I mentioned this last week with Luke. Shout out to Luke Morrow, who did
a fantastic job and doing an even better job this in the morning today, and he'll do another great job tomorrow as well.
Because I mentioned this last week, and it really kind of came into much more clarity over the weekend. I said, as much as we wanted the Astros in the playoffs, and we're going to talk about the Astros here in a little bit, but it's just kind of more fun watching postseason baseball when you're not stressing.
Oh, my goodness.
When you're not stressing. Same is true with football.
You think so?
Yeah, same is true with football. I enjoyed the weekend of just like red zoning, you know, until my eyes bled and watching games and sort of just thinking about like what this game means versus that game. And it was very much outside of the Aggie game, which, you know, I didn't really stress too much outside of the first couple drives. But it was just like a stress-free, let's watch sports and have some fun.
Yeah, okay. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. How did you approach your bye weekend? And also, what do you feel like you know about the NFL? Because that seems to also tie in with what you were talking about there. You're watching these games. I imagine one from a perspective of just what are the entertaining games that I will enjoy, but then also how do these games then tie back to the Texans? So you're probably, I imagine, as we'll get to around the NFL, you're probably watching and seeing what it looks like when the Seattle Seahawks are taking on, who they play, Jacksonville? Ooh. Again, like what does that look like, right? I do wonder, are you also watching the Ravens and the Rams and trying to see like these former opponents of the Texans, how do those games now compare as we learn more and get more data on those teams? Is that also what you're doing there?
Well, you know, I've never really subscribed to that theory. You could play one team and then the next week they lose to so-and-so and they lost to so-and-so. I hate doing that stuff.
Transitive wins are huge. As a college football fan.
It is not huge. They are not huge.
As a college football fan, how are you not always looking at transitive wins?
Well, UCLA beat Penn State and Penn State beat blah, blah, blah.
That's right. So that means UCLA could beat all of those three teams
that
Penn
Southern
State managed
Miss,
to get wins
That means
again.
Southern Miss should be in the playoffs.
100%. Absolutely. That's the kind of nonsense football logic that I am here for.
I don't play
But
that
you know
game.
What? The Browns beat Green Bay, too. Yeah, what did that mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing. And this is a preview to the question of the day. It's a week-to-week thing, man. It's a week-to-week thing. But, it was a good weekend. It was a little fishing involved, of course, for me. And that's neither here nor there. But the best part of the weekend for me was sort of, and we'll get into this as well, was sort of gauging where you think the Texans now stack up, you know, and we're going to dig more deeper into that. But the other thing is this weekend of football, I think we got a lot of clarity on really, even with the Texans not playing, on who's where and who looks like they're the teams to beat.
Yeah, if you want to speak on that, I would like to start with Sunday Night Football last night. As I asked, you know, what do you feel like you know about the NFL? Are we doing the Kansas City is back yet? Like, are you there with that? They got a victory last night versus, who did they play again last night? Oh, the Lions. That's right. I was like, it's a blue team. And it is indeed the Detroit Lions. That was a 30-17 victory. Haven't even gotten the full return as Rashi Rice, that week six was the last week of his suspension. So he'll be back after this. Patrick Mahomes out here dealing. That run game looks like it's back.
They're throwing hands.
Well, that was more about Brian Branch, which, okay, so if you were not watching Sunday Night Football, if you decided to turn in early, obviously, as I mentioned, the Chiefs got a victory, moved themselves to 3-3, pulled the Lions back down to 4-2. So again, the Chiefs, one of those teams that feels like they're good, not great, as it feels like all the teams are around the NFL right now. But Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the team, goes to try and, you know, after the game,
shake someone's hand.
Is he a safety linebacker? And Brian Branch just kind of walks past him. Patrick Mahomes taps his arm. Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver for the Chiefs, goes to also try and dap Brian Branch up.
Juju
and at that point,
a little bit.
Brian Branch was like slapped directly in the ear hole as if to say, I ain't trying to hear none of that. Plus, I know who you are. Right? I know who you are. And I say that in particular because people are like, yo, what happened there? Was it because Pat Mahomes? No, apparently there was a nasty crack block that was landed by Juju Smith-Schuster on Brian Branch earlier in the game that I did not notice. And I was like, oh, someone did not take kindly to that and to the fact that they lost. I imagine that you don't do that if you're Brian Branch if you won that football game.
Yeah, no, I and plus he was chattering a little bit. If you look at the kind of the bigger picture, the view that they showed, he was chattering a little bit, then kind of put his hand out, and that he was having none of that. He was having none of that at all. To your first question, am I in a place where the Chiefs are back? 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the Chiefs, man.
That offense kind of humming now, man.
100%. That is a scary 3-3. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be scary. That's where I am with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think I'm about there, right? They're clicking. One of the phrases that I love using is institutional knowledge, and you're seeing that come back, especially with the connection between Pat and Kelsey. Kelsey had 78 yards in that game. And then they're just kind of running the ball better, which was one of those things that it felt like they didn't have. Yep. Actually, what's funny is the thing that I have a hold up with Kansas City is actually the defense isn't as good. So I do wonder if that balance works out, because if you get that offense back to what it looked like the last couple of years, but that defense isn't the same monster, I'm interested in what that is. I will now turn again to the text line. Somebody said Colts literally beat potatoes. Oh, okay. So we're just doing there's a number of people doing the Colts are mid. Which we will visit when we go around the AFC South here in a second. But that's one of the things that people feel like they know in the NFL, and maybe the things that they were watching.
I feel like we get cussed out if we say, oh, they beat the depleted Baltimore Ravens or they beat the Tennessee Titans. We could do that all day long, though.
It's a constant haterade, you know. Oh, they're frauds. They haven't beaten. They're 4-1, 5-1, right? 5-1. They have the best record in the AFC. So –
they beat the team.
Sorry, just hearing you say it out loud.
Yeah.
Say it one more time for me.
They have the best record in the AFC.
What?
They have the best record.
What is 2025?
Yeah.
Hey, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you're supposed to do. Did the Texans? You know, all due respect, and we're thinking.
And they played two tough teams early on, but they lost to Jacksonville too, man.
Yeah.
These are two competing ideas of how you handle your bye week weekend that we just had this weekend. From the 713, I didn't have to worry about Manchester United or the Texans or the Astros this weekend, so stress-free. Okay. I appreciate that. But someone else was like, I can't watch if my team is not playing. So they went and did something productive.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Both of those are valid, interestingly enough. I was interested in how many people are like that latter text that were like, actually, my team was not playing, so I also took a bye week.
It was one of those where maybe you could have gotten some honeydews in and said, baby, I'm doing it for you.
I don't feel like watching football this week.
That's right. You know, this is a you weekend. Let's just do that. Let's just do that. What was the eye-opening thing that maybe, you know, I guess the Chiefs would be on the list, that because there were a couple things for me where I went, oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay.
Hit me with one. I'm interested because there's a number of people talking about Seattle. That's going to be the conversation that we have the entirety of this week.
Mm-hmm.
But what was one of the ones that came to mind? Because it seemed like one of those definitely jumped into your mind.
Yeah, Steelers.
Yeah.
I was actually going with Baltimore, man. They might be done, man.
Well, stay tuned
on
that one,
which is a little scary, too. Yeah. I mean, if you kind of moving forward, that's a little bit scary.
But. Yeah. The Steelers, 4-1. A little bit of separation, a lot. They're going to win the AFC North.
Yeah, and with the Steelers, it's just I keep bouncing back and forth on what is this Aaron Rodgers thing actually? It's kind of funny because it seems so long ago that we were doing the will they, won't they for so long with Aaron Rodgers. And he's doing what Aaron Rodgers typically seems to do, 235, two touchdowns, finding a whole bunch of DK Metcalf, as you might expect. It feels like that's a team that is a Mike Tomlin special. They are out here doing what they do, getting things done, and stacking wins.
Yeah, and the other one was the Patriots. I mean, we're kind of doing an impromptu around the NFL here, but I think it's relevant to the Texans simply because, this is a team that's ahead of you and is looking like a playoff team.
Oh, in the standings. Yeah. That is fair. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I feel like I know about the NFL, which is there aren't any just flat great teams, but there are a lot of teams that are in this group of good. And I'm trying to decide if that's good or bad for the Texans. Obviously, you started off the season in a way that you did not want to at all, starting 0-3. Now are 2-3, headed into your week 7 matchup versus the Seattle Seahawks. And the idea that there's no great team is probably solid in that everybody's in this muck. Teams have to lose by the nature of, you know, games are going to be played. Someone has to lose. So you're closer to the larger pack, but the pack is also very big.
Yeah.
So there's more bodies. And I'm thinking about this as like a marathon. There's more bodies for you to navigate to get back to that, to get to that spot up in the front of the line where you ultimately want to get to.
And speaking of impromptu, this isn't the question of the day, but it did cross my mind as I'm listening to you. What was the most bye week thing you did this weekend?
Oh, that's fun.
What 713. Was the most bye week thing you did this week?
5-7-2-4-6-10. As I'm sure you all know by my absence, and I feel like you probably said it on the air last week, I went to Nashville. Like, I just was not in town at all. So that was very bye week of that bye week. And funny enough, was not planned. It was not planned going in to the season. Like, oh, well, there's my week off.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened that way. But it was weird. I think that I realized about myself in a way that I did not anticipate, honestly. I really get disgusted by the side of that Tennessee Titans logo.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
It's so swaggerless.
So the most bye week thing I did was I spent the weekend down in Galveston, well, in Jamaica Beach with some friends, and they said, hey, do y'all want to go see the sunset? I went, yeah, let's go see the sunset.
Is that typically a thing that you go, nah, I'm good, I've seen it before?
We got baseball, we got this, we got that. We got football, and so we got in the little cart and went and saw the sunset, and I'm like, all right, it's bye week. Let's go watch the sunset. Shopping, of course. Honeydews, of course, is probably on the list as well.
I think I kind of kept my Sunday normal. I did watch Red Zone the whole entire time, though, and probably I might have took a nap or two just in the middle of it.
Do you usually let yourself take a nap on a Sunday?
Sometimes if it's during the game, Texans game, I don't. I'm up watching it, but after the game, then I just kind of chill, put it on red zone, and then I might doze off a little bit and wake back up and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was waiting for this one, the 832, and went to church.
Shout out to you, man.
Hey.
I did go to church, too. I hit that early morning service.
Golf, that's another good one right there.
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a good one. I wonder, for those of you that did actually golf, 713-572-4610, were there more people out there mm-hmm. because of it, or were you one of the few people who actually made that decision? I guess as opposed to the normal amount of people that typically get out there. I see you, Cornbread, on the YouTube. It's crazy how everybody's amazed by the Texans' record, but most of y'all predicted them to be worse. 2-3 through five games. Point me to the people that believe that the Texans
who
would be
did
worse
that
through five games.
I think I said 11, didn't I?
A total?
11 wins.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how many people picked these Texans mm-hmm. to be. Are you talking about qualitatively worse? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not even sure about that. I think probably most or the average view of what the Texans would have been coming into the season was great on defense, which check, and then solid okay on offense, which I don't know that we have a good idea of. I think that's also one of the things that the bye week kind of showed me. There's more promise on offense than mm-hmm. maybe we had given credit for a little bit, but also I don't know how much to believe with that. I think that's where we come back to that Rams-Ravens game that was watched. I think the Rams ultimately put, 17 points on the Ravens, and that's a Rams team that we look at as being pretty solid. And you go, this was a team mm-hmm. in the Texans that put up, 40 burger mm-hmm. on that Baltimore team. Like, does that... Again, transitive. I know that you don't typically go to that, but what do you make of that?
That's one way I watched this weekend in terms of through Texans goggles, because the offense, as bad as the Ravens defense is and everything, it's still produced at that level, And so that was important to me.
The Ravens did get a few of their guys back. They weren't as depleted, but again, that's a bad defense. So the idea that only 17
points got Kyle Hamilton back. I don't know how much of a difference
that made. A lot. He's very good at football.
He's definitely good. 281 went to the farmer's market and a winery with his missus. Good for you. Good for you.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just with that being the case, it becomes less frustrating just altogether. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things I learned just about myself, not even in the sports realm of this all, is, this idea that I'm just going to be out and about, but I'm going to watch games on my phone. I'm not actually as good at that as I thought I was.
I did that some when we were watching the sunset.
You were like, I watched the sunset, but I'm not committed to
but
this.
But I did have the game on my phone.
See, I don't even be doing that. I just kind of look at the score. I do a score check.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, it's beautiful. Ah! Then I'm screaming at the phone. But I did, technically I did go. I was just, kind of grunting and stuff on the phone. But
grunting at the phone. Okay, very good. Somebody said this earlier, and I kind of want to, get your thoughts on this. It's all tied into this Tampa Bay game where Tampa looks like a fantastic football team. Mm-hmm. They get a 30-19 victory over the Niners. And during this, there's a huge play in which Baker Mayfield stands in the pocket, steps up perfectly, throws a dime to Tez Johnson, who catches this, gets his first NFL touchdown. This is him after the game talking about the experience on the field.
I'll tell you a funny story. This is crazy. When I score and I hit MVP chant, I'm thinking they talking about me. So I asked Shep. I'm like, Shep, they was chanting MVP? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I ain't do nothing this year. And he was like, they talking about Baker, Tez. And I was like, well, that explains it. But he is the MVP. The one he got the first down on, he said he blacked out. But, I mean, that's just Baker. The pump fake get everybody. I'm just like, oh, my God, he's a dog. Like, I don't know what he eating. He's putting in cereal before the game. Like, but... That guy on it every single week.
I don't know if that guy's just that naive or that confident in himself. Like, I caught a ball. I'm MVP.
Clearly they talking about me.
He did say, I ain't do nothing this year.
I didn't do
anything. He was honest on that part.
Is Baker your MVP right now?
Oh, 100%.
100%?
100%, given the way that he's not just put up the numbers and won big games, but like comebacks, et cetera. Baker to me is right now, and it changes obviously, but right now he's the MVP.
Right. Nobody's actually, giving an MVP award in week six or after week six. Baker has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like I just pulled up the odds per DraftKings just to kind of juxtapose this. Baker has the third best odds after Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes only just coming back into looking incredible, and maybe that's not fair because that's the entirety of his defense. Josh Allen has been steady in the way they've gone about things. Baker's been making the big plays, and MVP isn't typically an award that, you know, context is how the way that we look at this, where we go, what was our priors coming in?
Yeah.
However, it feels like that might be doing a little bit of a bounce for Baker Mayfield here.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, and this is the other thing, people use the term dog way too often. That dude is a dog. That dude is a dog.
Well, funny enough, it's for me, it's less about the dog, even though he definitely did. He had like a scramble where
that was big.
Then steps up, trash. Spins, reaches for the first down marker and is able
was
to get something.
Was it that 3rd and 15
yes.
or whatever
it was. There was no business getting that. Yeah. For me, it's like you could see that he is a veteran quarterback. I don't know what the threshold is for like, oh, this is a veteran, a vet now. You can see it with him. The times when he decides to step up, the times when he decides to hold on to the football or pull it down. He does that perfectly.
He's playing smart now.
He's playing very smart. Mm-hmm. Which is a great pair with his bravado, let's say.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Monday. That is the weird reaction Monday that we decided to put together to start the show. Rock with us, though. 713-572-4610. Coming up next, as we do on a reaction Monday, let's react to the AFC South. Let's go around the AFC South. We will do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns outside of
you know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.